pose questions as opposed to answer them. So, and I want to acknowledge my co-author, Stephen Gulley, who is at Brandeis University, who is a charming and bright, young, up-and-coming disability researcher, who you'll be hearing more from, I'm sure. Steve and I just finished a series of papers using the J-CUSH data, which I'm using in this presentation, and I will speak more about it. But he found APHA a little daunting in terms of costs, so he's not here today. The purpose of this presentation is to examine the content of disability data in surveys and the use of that disability data from a somewhat new perspective. I use data analysis in this presentation to sort of illustrate some of the problems or the disconnects, and that helps to make them, I think, more evident. We're going to look at the use of data for disability purposes, data critiques from the policy perspective. I think what started me on this is that I got tired of all the critiques of the disability data, and I felt like somebody had to defend it. How well I do, I don't know. Speak about data used in this analysis. What are the questions the data can answer? What are the questions the data can't answer? And a little bit of a discussion. There's no intention, as I say, to solve the problems I raise within this presentation, but rather the purpose is to raise them and perhaps receive input that can further illustrate the issues or ideas about pursuing this train of thought. Survey data is used for policy purposes frequently. I am beginning to be of the inclination that it's probably not the best solution to all our problems. Disability data from surveys serves two primary purposes in addressing policy issues. It gives us prevalence numbers, and it allows us to examine outcomes, but we don't seem to examine those outcomes as clearly and efficiently as we possibly can. There are many policy questions that need to be examined, but only a handful of sources of national survey data. I know it seems like a lot of data to you, but basically, when you consider all the questions that are raised, it isn't really a lot of data. Policy issues can be found at multiple levels of government as well as in private organizations. The only data that can satisfy data needs at all geographical levels, for example, are the census or the American Community Survey. So there are gaps in what we have and what we can do. Data can't always answer all the policy questions. A lot of criticisms have been focused on disability data from the policy perspective. The variety of prevalence estimates is constantly bemoaned. NCD, National Council on Disability, thank you. Here's one critic who's concerned about the variety of prevalent estimates, differences in the wording, differences in the answer categories, and so forth. GAO is concerned about unnecessary duplication of data of disability questions. They just want one set of disability questions and one survey, and that's it, folks. That's all we need. Of course, we're all familiar with the Silverstein criticisms, which included questions about reliability and validity. And then there's concerns about adherence to the ADA definition of disability. And prior to the ADA, of course, we had some of our main policy issues were long-term care. And so that influenced the definition and the way disability was measured in surveys. I've used the Joint Canadian United States Survey on Health for this analysis to demonstrate some ideas that I have. It was a cooperative project between the Statistics Canada and the National Center for Health Statistics. The data was collected by telephone interview in 2003 by Statistics Canada. There were 8,688 respondents, 3,505 Canadians, 5,183 Americans. They were non-institutionalized adults, aged 18 or over. I'm only using the U.S. data in this analysis, but there are some interesting comparisons to be made between Canada and the United States, and you can look at for forthcoming publications, I hope, sometime soon. There's four different sets of disability questions. And this is has turned out to be an excellent way to examine the relationship of among measures. Okay. All the respondents were asked all the disability questions. The ordering of placement of the four question sets was randomized, so nobody got, there shouldn't be any bias in terms of the question answers. Questions reflected various concepts associated with disability, different wording and answer categories, some of which can be coded in a variety of ways. So basically, I am not going to spend a lot of time talking about the disability questions. I've given presentations on this data about four times now. And the first time I gave a presentation on this data, I started talking about the questions, and I never got any further. I mean, there is so much to talk about in terms of the questions, so I'm hoping you'll trust me and ask questions at the end or write to me or whatever. Steve is he's very ethical young man. We didn't do anything that we shouldn't have done, and he kept me honest the whole way through. But the one thing I do want to talk to you about is the fact that of the four sets of questions, two of them had answer categories such that you could code them differently. You could code them conservatively or liberally. So, for example, the one set of questions was physical functioning questions, which came out of the National Health Interview Survey, which was the classic walking, bending, stooping, reaching overhead, those kinds of questions. And the answer categories were you had a little difficulty, you had some difficulty, a lot of difficulty, you couldn't do it. And so that could be coded two different ways. We could make the cut at a little difficulty, or we could make the cut at some difficulty. The restricted activity screener, which is what Canada uses in their census to then follow on with disability surveys, also had a variety of answer categories, and so that you could cut the answers to those questions two ways, somewhat, a lot, and they never have a problem. So if you included people who had said somewhat, or if you included people who said a lot, you had sort of your conservative and liberal coding of those questions. It's going to take me a little while to go through this slide because I want you to at least understand what I've tried to do, even if I haven't gone into the questions in great detail. There were two question sets from Canada and two question sets from the United States. The Health Utility Index represents, and I'm talking about these questions very broadly, and I've looked at, okay, if a person responded positively to one question set, that's my variable. Positively to another question set, that's my variable. And if they responded that they didn't have a disability and so forth. So there's really, the question set have been constructed into a dichotomous variable. The Health Utility Index asks a series of questions about, it includes mobility questions, it includes some mental health question, it includes a pain question, it includes a vision question. It is a proprietary set of questions, and they code it a particular way, and you're not allowed to know how the coding goes. Stats Canada created a disability, non-disability code for this Health Utility Index, and we didn't have the alternative of having a liberal and conservative measure. Either the person indicated some level of disability on one of the questions, or they didn't. The activity and participation screener represents complex activity limitations. It's the questions from, a question set from the National Health Interview Survey that looks at whether or not, same thing happens every time I start talking about these questions, whether or not somebody has trouble working, has trouble with ADLs and that kind of thing. The third question set is the restricted activity screener, which is the a screener that combines both basic questions about basic actions and questions about complex activities. For the most part, I will show you, demonstrate what all these questions show, but I've dropped out the restricted activity screener for the final analysis. And the physical functioning limitations represent the basic functioning activities like walking, standing, stooping, and so forth. I really say there's two types of survey questions, basic actions, difficulty, and complex activity limitations. It's actually three because there's also most surveys have three types of questions. Basic actions, are we talking about how the person is functioning at the whole person, whether task kinds of questions, whether or not they can accomplish tasks, and whether or not they can participate in complex activities. Questions that ask about difficulties with physical, cognitive, and emotional functioning can be considered basic action. Questions that ask about various forms of participation are focused on more complex activities and make undefined assumptions about the nature of the environment in which the activities take place. One of the things I'm talking about first is prevalence. Let me just show you what these questions do in terms of prevalence in the U.S. The prevalence ranges from actually 19.7% for the Health Utility Index to approximately 36.2 or 36.4 using liberal versions of a disability measure, either in the restricted activities or in the functional limitations measure. If you take all those questions together, don't forget these are the same people, they answered all these questions. If we use a liberal cut, in the U.S., 51.4% of the population indicates some level of disability, 103 million. Wouldn't they like that number to use? If you use a conservative cutting point, you get 37.6%, or 75 million. One of the interesting aspects of this is concordance and discordance. Does the person who answers question one set answer all of the questions the same way? And that has very interesting results, equally interesting results. In the United States, using the conservative coding cut, because that's what we use most of the time, and that's 37.6% prevalence on at least one measure. Of those people who answered positively, of that 37.6%, 45% of them only answer one set of questions. 37% answer two or three questions, and only 17.5% answer all four questions. I knew you were going to do that. Okay. What's very interesting is the respondents to a single question set are younger, have higher education, are less likely to be poor than respondents who answer all four sets positively. Women are more likely to respond positively to all four sets of questions. I don't know why we assume because a person indicates, I mean, we don't have any research to show that if a person indicates that they only have a little bit of problem, okay, on a disability, on a functioning, that they are any less disabled than somebody who says that they answers all four questions. It may be they're younger, they have better education, they have more resources. They have adaptive skills. They have used their resources to provide adaptation, and they're answering it a different way. I mean, I don't know that. We make a lot of assumptions, but I'm wanting us to go back and question those assumptions. My time is up. And I just par for the course. What I wanted, can I I wanted to make the point that if we locate the ADA definition of disability in the ICF model with our survey data, and I have put up here the ICF model, and with health conditions on the top, body functions on the left, activity in the middle, participation on the right, environmental factors and personal factors below. Our data we have available data for the most part on activity and participation. The ADA definition says it's impairment, and if you look at the EEOC handbook and the definitions of things, it combines. If you have problems with walking, standing, speaking, breathing, and work, okay, so it would combine those two things to identify your population if you were doing an analysis of that population. But if you wanted to locate the policy purpose of the ADA in the ICF model and do an analysis, the concern is about equalization of opportunity. Do the people who have these limitations in functioning, are they able to participate in the workforce, in the social life that they want to? And what is the environment that they do this in? Is that conducive to it? So the upshot of this presentation, which I've made a mess of, is I wanted to demonstrate to you that this is a table, a four by two table. Basic action difficulties are the row variables. Complex activity limitations are the yes or no are the column variables. We have a problem with measurement when we say that a person has no basic action difficulties, but yet 7.1% indicate that they have complex activity limitations. Whereas I have color-coded this. The aqua at the top is where we have a measurement problem. The mustard-colored cells are those that indicate the definition of disability in terms of the ADA, and yet we have also the people with limitations in basic activities who are unaccounted for in terms of the analysis unless we start with the people who have basic activity limitations. We don't measure all the pieces, we don't have the space, and we don't have the uniformity of questions, and there's also conceptual problems with the policy. So disability continues to be conceptualized as a single entity with a true prevalence, and it's not. We have to understand what we're measuring and what the question is we're asking. Thank you, and I apologize for going over.